Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Monday, December 17th, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist, and I'll be hosting the show tonight, and my co-host, Charlie Klein, will be joining us momentarily. Tonight's topic, there is no rule of law or equal justice for all in America. Let's face it. America has fallen apart. And the court system is a joke. Congress is a joke. Public office is a joke. The elections are a joke. The only people that actually have to follow the laws are the people who aren't rich and in power. You know, Congress doesn't have to follow the laws. They do whatever they feel like. And then the other extreme, those who don't work for a living. So if you're the middle class for America, you are getting stuck every which way you can imagine. You have the fewest rights and the biggest bill, the biggest debt. You have the biggest liability. You are stuck in every which way. But we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of why I say that, the no rule of law or equal justice for all in America, because it's about the complaint that Charlie, Terry, and I filed about the violations of the Constitution. I think you'll find it kind of interesting, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But first off, everybody obviously has heard, I think Friday was a very rough day, okay? As some of you may have noticed, I didn't have a show last Thursday. My father, he had passed away in October, at the end of October, and his funeral was Friday. At the Florida National Cemetery. He was a veteran. And so Thursday, I didn't have the show because of the funeral on Friday. I just decided to not have the show on Thursday for the obvious reasons. And then had the funeral for my father on Friday. And as we're leaving the funeral, leaving the cemetery, one of the people there tells us about this massive shooting where 20 kids get killed. 20 young children are killed. And then some adults are killed. And, of course, they don't really know much at that point. They just know this thing has happened. And little by little, you get more details on it. And of course, we still don't know. We don't know hardly anything yet, except that it was a disaster, a massacre, just a terrible thing to happen. And I want to mention it because on Thursday's show, we're going to get into a very in-depth discussion about what this really means. We're going to talk about what it truly shows about what's happened to our country today, because I think it's symbolic in so many ways of what truly has happened to this country and why the United States of America is falling. This is just a snapshot of what's happening to our country as a whole. And starting from, you know, the fact that we're not allowed to say prayer, and you're not even allowed to have a moment of silent meditation in school. You can't believe in God. You can't believe in any moral values. That's not allowed anymore. And then, you know, at a very young age, pharmaceutical companies are popping drugs into kids, every kind of medication, and then they want to know why kids change and things happen. And I mean, just the whole series of events that has caused total decline of this society and of this country, why we're falling. So that's what we're going to focus on Thursday's show. So I don't want to get into too much detail, but I did think it was, you know, I needed to mention it was obviously an awful thing that happened, and I think we need to really look at why it happened from a cultural perspective, what we have done to the total decline of values of this country, which is why we're failing. That's why we're falling right now with everything else. And what we're going to talk about tonight, we lead right into that same topic of what's happened to our judicial system, why there's no justice. There's no rule of law in this country anymore. The laws apply for some but not for others. It just depends. Kind of like health care. Well, we're going to have all these waivers for some, and then the rest, the middle class, are going to get stuck again. This whole craziness of what's happened to this country is just, it's depressing. And if we don't change our ways, it's not about gun laws. It's not about gun laws. That's not what the problem is. It really isn't. And so we'll get into a lot of discussion about that. But again, tonight's topic about there is no rule of law there is no equal justice for all in America. That's gone out the door. That was gone years ago as we corrupt the Congress more and more. But a couple other things I want to mention before we get into that is, well, once again, we hear more talk about the GOP, the rhinos being led by Boehner or Bonehead, depending on what you like to call him. Out there caving in, once again, the Republican Party is not going to stand for anything. They keep saying they're caving in. It's going to be the tax increases. Who knows what will happen in the end? I mean, I think I can guess. But those of you who live and die by the two parties, you're part of the problem. The other thing I just have to mention is good old Hillary. Gosh, all of a sudden she's had a concussion or she's too sick or whatever it is that's happening. She can't testify about Benghazi. Gosh, can you? And then once she's out of office, she can't testify then. What? Look at the games that they are playing. Why would anybody believe anything this administration says when they play these kind of games on something like this that killed Americans, killed the ambassador? It's disgusting. So I don't for 1 minute think Hillary's sick and can't testify. I guarantee you. And you know what? If she can't do this, then I guess she's not going to be able to run for office. She's going to be too sick, right? She can't do that. She can't testify for this. But anyway, so I had to kind of get those two things out there. And really want to focus in tonight mostly on this thing about no rule of law and no equal justice. Because, you know, Terry, Charlie, and I, we filed the complaint against Congress. It was going against Harry Reid and John Boehner for being the ones to head both houses of Congress. We put it to them because Harry Reid's the president of the Senate, and then, of course, John Boehner is the Speaker of the House. So we went after them for failing to pass a budget like is mandated in the Constitution. Constitution, Article 1, Section 9, Clause 7. You're supposed to pass a budget. You know, you're not supposed to be handing money out when you don't have it properly appropriated and legally passed. You don't have a legal budget. That's the Constitution, if anybody cares. So we filed the complaint on that. And we were denied, and we're going to get into the discussion about that. But it just all proves, when you look at what's really happening here, and again, we'll talk a little bit about what's really happening, how this all relates to what we're going to talk about on Thursday as well, is the U.S. government is no longer instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The governed don't have a place in this government anymore. We the people don't have a part in this government anymore. We are the sheeple. We are the serfs. We have been converted. We have no rights to govern, to control this government. It's supposed to be the consent of the governed, but that's as far away. I mean, we're nowhere near that. We are nowhere near. The fact is the corruption of the Constitution of the United States of America, the rule of law, equal justice, it has become a massive terminal cancer throughout this country. Our country is on life support, and it's not going to survive the way we're going. We the people don't exist. We don't have rights. We have no rights. You think the Patriot Act took away your rights? They were already gone. That just sealed the deal. NDAA, your rights were already gone. That just sealed the deal. And when you hear what we talk about, what happened with this court case, this complaint we filed and what the judge and the magistrate came back with is so ridiculous. It's like, okay, so this judge says that the Constitution doesn't matter. What's the Constitution is irrelevant. To say that the people don't have standing. Wait a minute, we don't have standing? We owe this liability, this national debt is ours. How do we not have standing? I owe, is over $50,000, probably like $53,000, $54,000 individually now. How do we not have standing? How do we not have standing when their reckless actions are causing the loss of our sovereignty and risking our security, risking both national security and sovereignty because of their recklessness, and they say we have no standing? How can that be? What are these people thinking? And then, like I say, the other part that they don't have what was that fancy term they put in there? Okay, the standing, don't have standing, and cognizable, cognizance. The court has no authority to review the political question. This isn't a political question. It's a constitutional question. They violated the Constitution. What is the question? This isn't an if or then. They have violated the Constitution. But the judge and the magistrate said, you know, the court doesn't care about the Constitution. We don't have to look at that. Who cares? We're not here to uphold the Constitution. This is the U.S. District Court. See, if officially the U.S. District Court, Middle District of Florida, Orlando Division. But, you know, Constitution doesn't matter. Who cares about that? And the other is Congress is immune from anything they do. That's not true. That is not true. But the court doesn't care. Congress is not above the law. Well, they are now because, again, we have no rule of law. They're allowed to do whatever they feel like. Congress is allowed to violate the Constitution at their will. They're allowed to put our country in jeopardy. They're allowed to destroy national security, national sovereignty, the financial collapse of this country. That's all okay by this court. That's okay. And you and me, we the people, the sheeple out here, we don't have standing. We're not harmed by this. This is good for us. It's good if we have no national security. I mean, that's the stupidity of the court. How can this be? And this was, some people thought I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say who the judge was. Judge Charlene Edwards Honeywell. And if you think you as a citizen of this country, as an individual of this country, an American, if you think you have standing when what they're doing with this fiscal crisis, forget the cliff and all this other stuff, but the fact that they refuse to pass a budget, the fact that they're running us into the ground, destroying us in so many ways, if you think that you don't have that you have standing, you really ought to call this judge and let the judge know. If you think the judge is all, that's right, we're just sheeple. We're not supposed to do anything. We're not the governed. You don't want the consent of the governed. We're the sheeple. If that's what you think, then tell the judge that too. The phone number to contact this judge is area code 407-835-3840. 407-835-3840. And just try to imagine that they say the court doesn't have the right to do this. They're not aware of any problem. They're not aware of the Constitution. They're not aware that there hasn't been a budget passed. They're not aware that Congress has to follow laws. Well, like I said, that's what this whole show is about. There is no rule of law. Some of us have to follow the laws and some don't. The sheep will have to follow the laws. On that note, let me get Charlie in. I've been ranting here for almost 15 minutes. Okay, Charlie, well, how are you doing today and what are you thinking?
I'm doing just fine. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. It kind of sounds like an echo. I don't know if you're on a speakerphone.
I'm on my speakerphone.
Okay. Well, right now you sound okay. If it gets too bad, I'll ask you to pick up.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm on my speakerphone is so that I can go through this book and take a look at everything that you were discussing, like standing. People wonder what the heck the meaning of the word standing is if they don't have any legal experience and they are patriots and they want to do something. So I'm going to give them a brief rundown of what the word standing is in this legal book that you have loaned me called The Law Dictionary, 4th edition, Stephen H. Giffords, the author. Standing, the legal right of a person or group to challenge in a judicial forum the conduct of another, especially with respect to government conduct. Get that? Especially with respect to government conduct. So what is the conduct of Congress when they do not pass a budget for the United States for over 3 years? What is Congress doing with your money, your tax dollars, that you don't know about, that they have no control over, because it is not in the budget, or there is no budget? Now, to me, that would mean that, especially with respect to government conduct, that to me means that we the people, the taxpayers, regardless of whether we our senior citizens, workers, whatever, as long as we file our income taxes and we pay taxes, we should have standing. The fact that all of this spending by Congress over the past 12 years or 16 years or 24 years or whatever it is has encumbered the taxpayers without the taxpayers' permission, because Congress is the one who approves the budget. So when, according to the law, in regards to fiduciary duty, it is the duty of the your elected representative to properly represent you, meaning that under the fiduciary rules and regulations and laws, the fiduciary does not have a right to encumber anybody, any of their constituents, without the constituents' approval. So that means they fail to pass a budget, they fail to protect the constituents, and now the constituents have to pay more money because the Congress has encumbered all of the taxpayers of America with additional debt by raising the debt ceiling and by doing different things so that they have money to operate their lucrative lifestyles. That's part one. And I'm just giving you something to give you an idea as to what you can look for in this. Okay, let's see. Litigants must satisfy constitutional standing requirements in order to create a legitimate case or controversy within the meaning of Article 3 of the Federal Constitution. Article 3 of the Federal Constitution. A taxpayer will have standing to challenge governmental conduct if the taxpayer can establish, one, a logical link between that status and the type of legislative enactment attacked, the budget, and two, a nexus between the status and the precise nature of the constitutional infringement alleged. Failure to properly process a budget. It never even came up for vote, although the Republicans did vote for a budget, but the Democrats didn't. But I don't recall us, we the people, voting for representatives to take the side of the party when they are supposed to be working for the good of the Americans. All Americans, regardless of party affiliation. Democrats are supposed to be thinking about the good of the Republican people, the Democrat, the Green Party, the Reform Party, and you name it. They are not supposed to be thinking about the Democrat Party's platform. Likewise, the Republicans are not supposed to be thinking and working in the best interest of the Republicans. They are also supposed to be working in the best interest of Democrats, Reform Party, Green Party, you name it. There is nothing in the Constitution that says anything about party politics, party favoritism, the parties running the country. We the people run the country. Not through the parties, but through our elected representatives who apparently are ignoring what we the people are saying and wanting done. Like Sally, Terry, and I, we filed a complaint in a federal court. Now, if the federal court does not have cognizance and cannot adjudicate this constitutional problem, then the court should have turned around and told us, pro se litigants, just average American citizens, patriots who love this country and want honesty in our government. The judge could very easily have turned around and says, We recommend that you take this complaint to the appeals court. But nothing like that was ever suggested. They want us to go get an attorney, then they can pay for an attorney because the violation is done by elected officials, not by the taxpayers. Now let me get in a little bit further into this thing because it's quite interesting in this law book. The gist of the question of standing is whether the party seeking relief has alleged such a personal stake in the outcome of the controversy as to ensure that concrete adverseness, which sharpens the presentation of issues upon which the court so largely depends for illumination of difficult constitutional questions. Then it refers us to see political question that Sally also mentioned. So now, just so you understand what a political question is, let me see, I had it here somewhere.
Yeah, the political question is whether it's something the Congress should be addressing versus the court. And this is not a this isn't like they're debating an issue whether they should vote or not. That's not it's not a matter whether they should, it's a matter that they're supposed to by the Constitution. So it's not a political question. It's not like, you know, do we want to put a new interstate highway someplace? That's political questions where they would be debating the issue on the floor. And that's what it is. So this is not a political question. This is fact. This is constitutional law. But they don't believe in it, so believe in the Constitution.
Now, in the law book, here's a definition of political question. A question that a court determines to be not properly subject to judicial determination, i.e., example, which is not justiciable, because resolution of it is committed exclusively to the jurisdiction of another branch of government, legislature, or executive. Well, our lawsuit is filed against the legislative and possibly will include the executive because we put those famous little letters on it that says et al. And others, which means the legislature could very well lead to the violation of the executive, which would be the Republican administrations in the White House and the Democrat administrations in the White House. And present.
One thing real quick here, Charlie. It's not the party. It's the public servant, the elected public servant who has failed to do their job. It's all because of their stupid games they play with the parties is part of the reason, but it's really nothing to do with the parties. It's the public servants.
Right, but I wanted to put that definition in there so that we could, you timed in just perfectly, Sally, because I brought in the parties and you clarified it. That was good.
Yeah, I mean, the whole reason we have the garbage going on is because we have two political parties, no Americans, just Democrats and Republicans. So if we could get some Americans in Washington, D.C., we might have a chance. But as long as we have a bunch of Republicans and a bunch of Democrats, nothing's ever going to get done, and we the people are going to be sacrificed while a court stands around and says we have no standing while they destroy this country and put it all on our backs. So, I mean, this thing about the standing, it just irks me to no end. It's like, how can you say we don't have standing? It's our Constitution. It's our government. They're not doing their job. They're violating the Constitution, and they are causing harm to this country. How do you not see there's no damage? It's just so stupid to me.
Yep. Now, let's go one step further. Now, we've gone through the standing where we were told we don't have standing, but according to the law book, the definition of standing means we do have standing because we have been injured because we're taxpayers. We now have an encumbrance to this country of over $50,000 each person, including newborn babies. Isn't that something? 300 million people are encumbered with $50,000 plus because of reckless spending for the special interests, and a lot of that gets filtered back to the elected officials in the form of campaign donations, parties, gifts, and you name it, that they hide. So how would you say willfully? And apparently some of that kickback could be going to the investigating bureaus, but that's for them to decide if they want to police themselves. But let's go to jurisdiction now so that people will understand. Now, we've gone through the standing part, we've gone through the political question, and now here's the jurisdiction that they question sometimes. Jurisdiction, the power to hear and determine a case. This power may be established and described with reference to particular subjects or to parties who fall into a particular category. In addition to the power to adjudicate, a valid exercise of jurisdiction requires fair notice and an opportunity for the affected parties to be heard. Without jurisdiction, a court's judgment is void. A court must have both subject matter jurisdiction and personal jurisdiction. Then it says, see also territorial jurisdiction, title jurisdiction. That's something else to go. Now, cognizance, cognizable. They also mention in there, and you mentioned it, Sally, about no cognizance. The court has no cognizance. Cognizable. Within the jurisdiction of the court, an interest is cognizable in a court of law when that court has power to adjudicate the interest in controversy. Then it says, see jurisdiction. So basically, they're telling us in this definition here that we probably went to the wrong court. Well, we can't go to the county court or the state court because they wouldn't have jurisdiction on the national budget. So we went to the federal court. That's the only court here in the state of Central Florida that we can go to. Now, there is an appeals court in Greenville, North Carolina. So what is it? Is this some kind of an illegal monopoly of the legal system to keep we the people from getting our, how would you say, having jurisdiction over our elected officials? Because according to the Constitution, it definitely says governments are made of men who get their right to govern by those who are governed. So, all of this thing here points to the fact that it could be very well that the legal system is a sham when it comes to the constitutional rights of the people in regards to going after the elected officials on a federal, state, and local basis who are in violation of the Constitution. And so now, ladies and gentlemen, are you a patriot willing to go ahead and sign on to some kind of a court action? Then start talking it up, because you can file it in your own district. Go to the court there and file a case against Congress for failing to properly process a budget for the United States of America. Get them for spending money without a budget. Get them for giving your money to Solyndra. Get them for giving your money to foreign countries without a budget. Get them for bailing out General Motors. Even though General Motors is supposedly paying the money back, it is not all coming back. Oh, and another one that you can really get them on, and this is a good one. File a lawsuit against them for failing to write the bills. There is nothing in the Constitution that says the Apollo organization or any other organization has a right to write the bills for Congress. All bills will originate in Congress, and Congress is the only ones we the people are paying to work for we the people. We are not paying Apollo, a political organization. We are not paying the PACs. We are paying Congress to do the work of the people. We are paying the legislatures on a state and local basis to do the work of the people. Therefore, when somebody else writes the bill and they just merely vote on it, as proven by Nancy Pelosi, they have to read the bill before they can vote on, so that they can find out what's in it. That is not representing the people. That is a violation of the constitutional rights of the people, because that encumbers the people without the people's permission. So, these are the things that we have come up with in regards to our little venture into the court system as pro se litigants. And now all you have to do is do the same thing. And there's a pro se litigant folder that you can get from the federal court, your local court, because you do have a right to petition your government. And according to this, it appears that we have a magistrate and a judge, a federal judge, who apparently does not know how to communicate with litigants who are patriots and believe in this great country. But now maybe something will happen where they will open the door to the courts for we the people, because we have no intention of not following through on this. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't fight for your rights, you won't have any rights. For 1.2 million brave men and women, patriots, died for your freedoms. Do not, I repeat, do not let the elected officials on a federal, state, and local basis take those rights away from you. The rights you have were granted by God Almighty. See to it that you keep them. Because if you don't and you lose them, you will never get them back. NDAA and Agenda 21 are two prime examples of you losing your rights. And when the ACLU went after prayer in school, I personally blame the ACLU and the Supreme Court 5 for being culpable in this disaster in Newton, Connecticut. Because when you have a strong moral standard in a great country like America, like we had when I was a young child, good things happen more so than bad things. But now we have drugs, drive-by killings, and now we have mass murders. And a lot of it is caused by too much publicity. I'm going to make the headlines if I do this. And it's going to escalate because there is no or a lack of moral upbringing. You cannot spank a child anymore.
Hey, excuse me, Charlie.
Go ahead.
Let me get a minute. Well, that stuff you're talking about there, that we're going to focus everything you're saying is exactly true, and that's going to be the focus. That's all we're going to talk about on Thursday's show. Why? What happened is the total decline of this culture, of what's happened here. And if we might get on to a little bit sooner, but I want to go back actually to talk a little bit more about the standing and the stuff on the case. I had some other info on that before we get knee deep into. And because to me, and we can tie it back in to what's happening today, we have there is no moral standard, and that is very much reflected in the court system. We can take the total decline of the culture and how it is in the court system, and the stuff you're talking about, no prayer, and the drugs, the spanking, all these various things as to what happened and what's caused this decline in this culture is truly the focus of Thursday's show. And if we have, you know, so I don't mean to kind of change subjects here, but I had some stuff on standing I wanted to get into.
I just want to make those remarks. I didn't want to go into any big discussion on anything like that.
Okay. Because I did some research on standing as well, because it really does get confusing, or people get confused as to what it means in a legal sense. And so to add on to what you were saying, This is a definition that's out there on U.S. legal. Standing is the ability of a party to bring a lawsuit in court based upon their stake in the outcome. A party seeking to demonstrate standing must be able to show the court sufficient connection to and harm from the law or action challenged. Otherwise, the court will rule you lack standing to bring the lawsuit and dismiss the case, which is pretty much what you were saying earlier. But there were three questions here. There's this, it kind of split it out to kind of understand or define what standing is, and I think we can explain why we have standing here. There are three constitutional requirements to prove standing, and I'll go on those in a minute. And then the other section is there are other requirements imposed by judge-made law. Kind of weird way they worded that, but anyway. Okay, so three constitutional requirements to prove standing. Injury. The plaintiff must have suffered or imminently will suffer injury. The injury must not be abstract. It must be within the zone of interest meant to be regulated or protected under the statutory or constitutional guarantees in question. Okay, injury, causation, and redressability. But for injury, haven't we been injured, Charlie? Don't we meet that qualification of injury?
Well, I think so. In fact, I know so because look at all the taxes we have to be paying. And look at how, without a budget, I did not get my COLAs for 2 years or 3 years. How come I didn't get a COLA, cost of living adjustment, because of inflation for over 2 years, but yet Congress did and the judges did, but the senior citizens didn't? Now, if that is not standing, then I would like the judge to explain that.
And you even take it to the next level, too, that we're liable for the debt. You know, we talked about the $54,053, whatever it is, we're each owe. And then this recklessness of spending is impacting this whole economy. It's not abstract. Is the economy abstract? Who is it abstract to? How can this judge think there is? I guess the economy is doing wonderful in her world, but it's not in most of us. And then this, we're in debt to China. All these various things that put us at risk as a nation, our national security. We don't have money for our military anymore because we don't have any money. We're broke, and we've got to spend it on stupid things that they want to do. So I don't understand how they think we haven't been injured. And that's the question I put to anybody listening out there. If you think you are injured by the reckless use of this money, of our public budget, and this is truly at the state and local level, but we were addressing Congress because that's where we have the fiscal cliff routine going on here, and we know we're in so much debt. If you think that we the people have standing, we are injured and we are harmed by this recklessness, please call this judge. Call this judge and let her know that you don't understand how she doesn't see the injury here, because we all have it. We're all suffering from it. And our future is at risk because of it. There is definitely a risk, and that's what it said here. It said the plaintiff must have suffered or imminently will suffer. They continue doing like they're doing now, not passing the budget. We are going off a fiscal cliff. Maybe the judge hasn't heard about it. We are being injured. We're being injured as we speak, and we're going to be more harm. There's going to be more harm coming down the way if we don't do something about it. So I just don't understand the stupidity of that. And, calling it, the nerve of me to say a judge said something stupid, well, to me it's stupid. I don't care what anyone says. They want to arrest me for saying it. I don't care. The other one is causation. The injury must be reasonably connected to the defendant's conduct. Don't you think we have causation here, Charlie?
They cause
seems
problem.
Pretty obvious to me. What is causation in this case?
Properly process a budget. And we named the person who failed to properly process the budget, and his name is Harry Reid.
And John Boehner.
And John Boehner failed to make sure that it was done.
Yeah. Yes. So, injury must be reasonably connected to the defendant's conduct. Duh! I think that means we have standing. What part of this am I missing? I don't get it. A judge, you want to call in and share it with us? I'd love for you to, because what to say that we don't have standing is just downright stupid. And then the other one, redressability. A favorable court decision must be likely to redress the injury. A favorable court decision must be likely to redress the injury. Yes, a favorable court. You what? Guess what? You're not going to be allowed to collect your paycheck. You're not going to be allowed to stay in office. You're not going to be allowed to leave office, go home, if you don't do your job. If you don't do your job, you will be fired, and you will be penalized for failing to do the people's work. Yes, a court could say, yes, guess what? They haven't passed a budget, just like it says in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 9, Clause 7, that they must pass a budget. Again, Judge, would you explain to me what definition of standing you're using? Because I see the standing all over the place here. And there's another one. You tell me, Charlie, redressability? Can't a court make a decision there?
Well, I would think that an intelligent judge could make a deal and see that we have been injured. We, the people, have been injured. We have been failed to be represented.
Injured because of their actions. And, yes, a court could make a ruling to redress that injury. Those are the
right.
Three things. Yes, that's all there is to it. What part of this does this judge not get? Except that they play games with our government. Again, there is no rule of law. And I'm telling this to this judge. Let's see if I got her name up here. Charlene Edwards Honeywell. Judge, sorry, I'm not going to call you Honorable at this point. Charlene Edwards Honeywell, would you tell me how we the people, when it comes to the public budget that we are liable for, how we are not injured, how there is not causation here, and how that you are not able to redress this?
How we not have standing.
Exactly, which those are all three pieces of standing. We have met those three things to qualify as standing. The other two pieces that it says, the other requirements imposed by the judge, a party may only assert his or her own rights and cannot raise the claim of a third party who is not before the court. Okay, so maybe because we did not say $54,000, we actually did put it in the second, when we tried to reopen it. So we actually said individually we are liable for $50,000. So while we're talking at large, this is affecting everybody across this country, every citizen, every American here. We did not go there seeking money for those other people. We said it as what it was to us individually. But, obviously, we can't go in there and say, well, yes, you're wrong, so go pay somebody else the money for their damages. No, that would be a class action suit, which I think this would qualify as a class action suit. And then the other is, a plaintiff cannot sue as a taxpayer who shares a grievance in common with all other taxpayers. That's the one that's kind of strange to me. A plaintiff cannot sue as a taxpayer who shares a grievance in common with all other taxpayers. That's about the stupidest part of this I think I've heard. But I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I'm not suing as a taxpayer. I'm suing as a citizen. So
the whole thing about that is,
yeah.
Is I think that would fall under the notwithstanding clause. Anything that violates the Constitution is notwithstanding. Therefore, if that was a law that was put in there by some judge or a group of judges, that was put in there to circumvent the Constitution, and that would be an unconstitutional decision. It would have no standing. It would be moot. Because you cannot take away the rights of the people to go after and to hold their government accountable. They cannot stop us from holding Congress or any elected official accountable for their actions. We cannot sue them for how they vote in Congress because they're representing the people. We can go after them for their failure to represent the people.
Yeah.
And in this case, they're not representing the people because they're spending money without a budget.
Which goes to the other part in the response where it said, let's see, what's the actual wording? Additionally, the defendants, as members of Congress, are immune from suits as this pursuant to the speech and debate clause of the United States Constitution. That is not true. That is BS. Yes, in the sense that, you know, again, they want to build a highway, they're debating the pros and cons, and then they vote and they make a decision. But the Constitution says they have to pass a budget. It's not a, yes, the debate process is what they do to pass the budget. And whatever the budget may be, however they pass it, they're immune from us going after them to say, well, wait a minute, you didn't fund this. Yes, they're immune from if we don't like the way they voted. If they voted yes to pass it or no to not pass it or whatever, they're immune from that. But they're not immune from doing their job. Well, and again, that's why I call this show, there is no rule of law in the United States of America. There truly isn't. We have
because
to
our law,
thing. Yeah.
Our judges have taken the law, the Constitution, and through the various filings, they have turned around and, how would you say, adjudicated cases that now try to change the Constitution. And those things are all wrong. I mean, they may be able to, how would you say, make a judgment in a case for the good of the parties there, but it doesn't give them the right to change the Constitution based on that decision. In other words, to change the Constitution requires an amendment process. So therefore, all of what you've been saying in there has not been done by the amendment process. Therefore, it's moot, which means it's not worth the paper it's written on. So the legal system, the judges and the law and the lawyers are trying to take away the rights of the people in regards to going after Congress or the lawmakers in any way, shape, or form through a court of law. In other words, they want us to go to the fox to get to the hen house. But the fox is a part of the hen house, so therefore, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. You cannot go to the executive and expect them to change anything because they're all sitting there. Well, we have the power, as has been very much thrown at the Republicans this last election, is I won. We won. We, the Democrats, won. Not we the people won, it's we the Democrats won. We the Republicans lost, not we the people. This is what's wrong with this country, and the media is playing a number one, how would you say, anti-American effort with their lack of proper, how would you say, investigative journalism.
They're
reporting. Biased. They're so biased and so inconsiderate that our media is going to wind up having one channel if it continues to go this way. It's like
it's almost there. Yeah, it's actually almost there now because of all the massive collusion of the networks,
right.
Clear Channel and these other ones. It's almost one source now.
That's right. All of the,
yeah.
I would say, what used to be illegal was illegal monopolies. They're now allowing monopolies in a certain way. And I think it all comes back to the fact of, I would suspect, kickbacks. Oh, you let this thing one slide through there, we'll buy you that summer cottage on in the Virgin Islands or wherever you want or up in a ski resort. You know? The influential. This country, we the people, the workers, are now being, and all the workers, I'm talking about the pilots, doctors, and everything, we the people are being governed by those who want to be greedy rich. And they are using greedy rich standards to develop the laws, to develop laws in this country, which a lot of people, the majority, don't qualify.
Yeah, those who are whose actual job is supposed to be to enforce the Constitution, to follow the Constitution, enforce the Constitution, they're the ones who are destroying it the most. they are the cancer of the society. They are the cancer of this country. The U.S. Senate, the U.S. House, the White House, these people who are supposed to be truly around that Constitution, protecting it in every which way, are the ones who abuse it and destroy it the most. And then you go down to these court, the different levels of the court, the Supreme Court, look what we've seen there. They have trashed the Constitution. We don't have a Constitution anymore. There is no rule of law. There is no equal justice for all. And you know, it's kind of interesting because you think about, had we had, a couple million bucks to blow on this case, we'll splurge and say $100,000 to pay an attorney in a suit to sit there and write up some legal jargon here and make it a little bit louder case. Maybe it would have still got dismissed because, again, the court is working on behalf of the people that are in office. They don't work for the people. They don't care about the Constitution. They would have had to have given it a little more consideration. They would have had to have worked a little bit harder. And the other thing I was going to mention, too, and I thought, I don't know if most people understand the role of the magistrate versus the judge. You know, because I kind of find that kind of interesting, too. It kind of is like, well, let's see, when you're putting something up on the Supreme Court, is it going to be the judge who's going to figure out what's going on, or is it going to be some magistrate filling them in saying, here's what they think? That kind of bugs me, too. It's like, well, wait a minute. So this magistrate did the research and told you what the decisions would be, and you said, oh, okay, sure, that sounds good, so they sign off on it. To me, there's something kind of squirrely in that process, too. What are your thoughts on that piece of it? The official definition here, let's see, of a magistrate is, magistrate judges are judicial officers who assist the U.S. district judges in performing their duties. So if you elect a judge, who do you really elect? They conduct civil and criminal proceedings for speedy disposition of the caseloads before district courts. Magistrate judges are appointed by a majority vote of the federal district judges of a particular district. They serve a term of 8 years if full-time or 4 years if part-time, and they may be reappointed. So that's the definition of a magistrate. But it's kind of like, okay, so in this case here, we kept seeing the magistrate, what the magistrate has said. So I'm not sure what the magistrate said versus what the judge said, but the judge signed off on it.
Yeah, well, what it is, the magistrate does all of the researching and looking through everything else and then comes up with a decision. And then tells the judge, well, here's what it is, and it's based on this, 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 and this, and gives him a brief. And then the judge signs off and says, okay, well, I trust you. I know that you did a real good job and all that, so we'll go ahead and do this. Now, maybe that magistrate could be a first-timer, 2 year, 1 year, whatever, hasn't read the Constitution that much, and the fact that we, the people, do have standing. And even though he understands the standing, he or she just turns around and tells the judge, well, I don't think these people will do anything because they're pro se litigants. We'll just quit playing with them and you go ahead and deny them this and then we'll be done with it.
Yeah, so it's like, well, it wasn't the judge who really did anything. And I mean, it's like, well, let's see, if the judge is just going to sit there and rubber stamp what's put in front of them. And of course, I don't know that that's truly what happened. It just makes you kind of wonder about some of this stuff. It's like, well, this wasn't worthy of the judge's time. You know, I can appreciate the fact that the magistrate would go out there. We all know, anybody who's done anything with this law stuff, it's crazy to try to research cases out there. There's a lot of work involved to it. So the question is, should you actually have more judges, or do you need other people feeding the judge the answer? I don't know whose answer you're getting. I don't know who truly spent the time. Because to me, I think the judge is probably rubber stamped whatever the magistrate put in front of him. Now, on the thing about the cognizant stuff.
Cognizant.
What was? Yeah, I'm sorry. What's that?
Cognizance.
But in the actual document that they gave us, they said cognizable. The court was not cognizable.
Yeah.
So what was your definition on it again? Because I had this other one, too, and I was going to kind of...
Go ahead and read yours while I look for mine.
Okay. Sorry, didn't mean to mess you up there. Means capable of being known or considered, It means capable of being judicially tried or examined before a designated tribunal. A cognizable claim or controversy is one that meets the basic criteria of viability for being tried or adjudicated before a particular tribunal. The term means that the claim or controversy is within the power or jurisdiction of a particular court to adjudicate. That which is cognizable to a judge is within the scope of his or her jurisdiction. And I think that's kind of what you were saying, too, just worded a little bit different. I mean, I think it's all the same. You were talking jurisdiction, right?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. I'm still looking for it. I just got to go.
I had looked this one up. This one didn't have any questions to it. But, again, I'll say, how do they not, how can this not be known or considered to them? How do they not understand what the budget is in the Constitution?
Mine reads this, cognizable. That's COGNIZABLE, cognizable. Within the jurisdiction of the court, an interest is cognizable in a court of law when that court has power to adjudicate the interest in controversy. Okay? What they're saying is that the Middle District Court, federal court, in Orlando, Florida, does not have the cognizance to adjudicate a case concerning Congress's failure to pass a budget and therefore Congress's violation of the Constitution. Okay? If that's the case, then why is it that the magistrate or the honorable judge failed to tell us and point us into the right direction for the proper court to file it in? Because they don't want to? Because they can't? Because somebody made a law and it says, oh no, you can't do that because then that would be conflict of interest. You see, I believe a lot of laws were probably made just to make it difficult for the citizens to get justice. Because that's what it's looking like to me is, if it's not cognizable in this court here, then what court do we the people in Orange County, Florida, and the Central District of Florida go to? Is there a court in Miami that we can go to? Is there a court in Tallahassee, Jacksonville, Daytona Beach? Where do we go? You're just telling us that it's not cognizable in your court, your federal court. What's the difference? Federal court, state court, county court. Which one do we go to? Those are the three that we know that are here. The county court building takes care of county and state. The federal building takes care of the federal things. All right? What other courthouse is there in the state, central part of Florida, or in the state of Florida, where constitutional issues are taken?
See, it seems so simple to me, but in when you're talking about how they make the system so difficult for we the people, there's a certain element that I think the court should be difficult in the sense. You shouldn't be able to have all these silly, frivolous cases, but, I mean, you can sue for spilling hot coffee on yourself. So we let frivolous cases, those can go a dime a dozen, but when you get into the nitty-gritty of the people's rights and the Constitution, which should be the supreme law that they care about, nobody wants to touch it. They're all too, either they're scared, petrified, or they're all controlled by some other power, whatever it is. But they don't. To me, it just means they don't believe in the Constitution, and kind of the way when they said they didn't have standing, or actually, I should say, cognizable. When they said they weren't cognizant of what was going on or whatever, I kind of took that to mean that that in other words, the U.S. court rejects the Constitution. Constitution is not part of their deal. That's not in their arena. The federal court doesn't have to deal with the Constitution. And that the Constitution means nothing and Congress can do whatever it wants to do. You know, who cares? Constitution, the Congress is, can violate the Constitution because court doesn't care. Court doesn't care what the Constitution is. Isn't that what they said? Court doesn't care. Who cares
well,
about the Constitution?
I mean, that's the impression I got. Maybe what we ought to do is find out from other people what they think. Does this sound like the District Court of Florida doesn't believe in the Constitution? Big question mark.
Exactly.
Does the court system believe in the Constitution for the protection of the people?
Exactly. I mean, to me, this judge, the judge and the magistrate said, you know, we don't care what the Constitution says. We don't feel like being bothered with it. So we're going to say we're going to say you don't have standing because we don't feel like bothering with it. We're going to say it's a political question because we don't feel like bothering with it. It's too much work for us. We don't care about the Constitution. That's not what we're here for. We're here for a paycheck, nothing else. The standing thing. It's like, okay, so you're telling me we are not harmed by the failure of Congress to do its job. Well, if we're not harmed by Congress, why don't we send them all home and save us all a lot of money? Tell them to get the heck out of Dodge. And how are we not financially harmed? And their attitude, response, whatever, is to me, it's like, well, in other words, we the people don't matter. The governed mean nothing in this system. It was supposed to be the consent of the governed. I heard something about that someplace in there. Isn't there something about consent of the governed? The government is made up of the governed. But every day it seems like that goes further and further away. The governed have no role in this. We are no longer the governed. We're the sheeple. You know, it's not the consent of the governed.
Well, you know that we the people are not the sheeple, but those who have been elected and appointed into positions seem to think that they're going to force us into that sheeple business, or to becoming sheeple. And a lot of people are sheeple, and they are basically on jump the fence here illegally, and they could very well be welfare recipients who could work, but don't work because we have people who pay for them to not work. I mean, when you give a person more money and benefits than what they could earn, you're going to have welfare all over the place and will become a Russia. And all of those rich people in Hollywood, they better save their money because they won't have anything left. Because somebody above them is going to be even richer, and it could be a dictator in a military uniform if they want.
Yep.
I just hope it never comes to that, because I always keep thinking about 1.2 plus million brave men and women, patriots, who died for our freedoms, and the fact that God gave us our freedoms and our rights. And now we have people taking them away because they just are not believers, or they want to be the dictators. But the thing is, on this situation, the judge has opened my eyes to the fact that I now truly question the validity of the court system. She has actually taken a case that has been on the news and even reported by elected officials that Congress has failed to pass a budget, and we the people have no cognizance. We have no rights. That is basically what she said. We the people have no rights because we asked them to redo it, and they did not direct us to it. The court has no cognizance, then what court does? The court system is not supposed to be difficult for any citizen in this country to go through. We should be able to go up and file papers and have it have it brought to the attention of a judge, and we should be able to have a face-to-face meeting with them to discuss these things. But no, we don't. They don't have time for us. They only have time for the people who make money, the lawyers. The magistrates, they don't want to have time with us. The judge doesn't want to spend time with us. But she is only one judge. And I have my hopes that there are other judges in this central district who are of the people, by the people, and for the people. But she just has given me the wrong impression. But let her someday come around and say what she really believes. Does she believe in the Constitution? Or does she believe in tyranny? Back to you.
Well, I was going to say, based on what she's done here, she, in my opinion, she doesn't believe in the Constitution. Or she selectively decides what pieces she feels like following. So she, you know, and if you, you either believe in all of it or you believe in none of it. You can't go
right.
And just pick, choose what you feel like following. So go ahead.
Well, ours is strictly based on the violation of the Constitution. And we got that information from the people on television, the very members of Congress, of the Senate, and of the House of Representatives. They themselves have said Harry Reid is sitting on bills that were presented to him by the Republican Party. I'm not a member of the Republican Party. So what bills were done in the good in my best interest? Because Harry Reid's sitting on them, I don't know. But because Harry Reid is sitting on them, he is not doing the job of the people, for the people, therefore by the people. So he's in violation of that part of the Constitution too, the preamble. He's in violation He's in violation of, apparently in violation of all our founding documents. And John Boehner and members of Congress, both houses, and the administration are all in violation of the Constitution because they failed to do the work of the people.
And every one of them does not actively, loudly oppose the behavior of both houses of Congress, they are also guilty. Now, there are some, when it comes to in the House of Representatives, same in the Senate, the individual representatives, they can submit a bill, but it's up to that speaker who's going to control the docket and what's going to get read and what they're going to debate and those kind of things. So, and again, that's why we took this bill. Okay, you're in charge of the House, Boehner. We're going after you. You failed to manage that House correctly. And then Reid, we failed you failed to manage it over there. And right now, from everything that we can see, and it's hard to look up every single bill that's been presented and whatever else, unless you truly have nothing else to do and have about 50 hours in a day. You have to see the fact that, okay, the House went and presented these bills to the Senate, and then Harry Reid sits on it. Why? Because the House is primarily Republican. So the bills that are being submitted over there are going to have a Republican, not an American thing, but a Republican thing to it. So Harry Reid's going to say, well, I don't like those Republican things, so I'm not going to do anything and I'm going to ignore it. We'll put some things in here for what we want from the Democrats on the Senate, not the Americans, but the Democrats, and then we'll pass it over to the House. And I think at this point the House has done more to respond to those and send it back to the Senate, saying, well, no, we don't like this, or yes, we do, whatever it is they say, to send it back to the Senate. The thing, the deadlock, the gridlock is over there in Harry Reid's corner, because once it gets to the Senate, nothing else happens to it. The House has been, it seems like, from what I can see and between what we hear in the news and what you look up on the various bills, it appears that the House is attempting to get something done, when Harry Reid is just sitting there doing nothing with it. And, of course, they played massive games like this before the election. And what are they going to do now? How many more years? Are we going to have another 4 years without a budget? And, by the way, Judge, is that okay with you? Do you not care about this country, Judge? I'm sorry. This thing is just totally, totally disgusting to me. It's just so outrageous, so anti-American. You know, that you, me, and Terry, any American, doesn't get to participate in this government because it's no longer an honest, moral government. There is no values. We don't believe in anything anymore. We do whatever we want to for the whoever's in power at the time or who we like and whatever else. There is no rule of law. There is no equal justice in America. I mean, that's, to me, everything that this thing proves. And how many times, I mean, we know some of our fellow patriots out there have been doing their own thing with the court cases. And so I don't, to be honest, I haven't heard anything of the latest results. But there are those who are still fighting Obamacare, and those are who are still fighting Obama's presidency, those kind of things. And you hear bits and pieces. And those have even had much more behind them than what we have. You know, we know that some other people have filed cases about the budget. We've heard different things about it, but we don't know how many. That critical mass that we talked about with We the People Congress, we've got to get that critical mass, and everybody has to come together as one, as Americans, and do something. If we all just, you know, do just like this, two or three of us doing things here and there, nothing's going to change. The cancer, we can't kill the cancer of this system if we do it like that. Your thoughts,
right,
Charlie?
That's right. The whole thing about the whole thing about what's happening now with this court thing is this judge and this magistrate apparently don't watch the news. And the whole thing about it is they cannot form their opinion based on the news. But it doesn't look like they're even looking at the Constitution or studying the Constitution. Although they did mention Article 3. The law, and it says right in the Constitution, laws cannot be written that would take away the rights of the people. No law will be, the law is moot if it violates the Constitution. So, are any of those laws moot? I would say that there's quite a few of them. But the whole thing about this magistrate is she is getting paid by we the people. So now maybe we ought to go after her for violation of our rights, because now we have standing. She
well,
is still standing, so then she doesn't have any right to stand on the bench or even sit behind the bench, because she has, to me, allowing Congress to continue to violate the Constitution. She doesn't want to hear about it, and she doesn't want to send it to the right authority to hear about it. But she did not. She did one thing could be a blessing in disguise. She did not cancel it with prejudice. So this lawsuit can be refiled, but it has to be refiled differently.
And we need more people behind it.
We need more people behind it. We need, in the state of Florida, we need 26 people to sign on to the lawsuit to make it a class action suit. Then we can get an attorney, because it'll be class action, and the attorney will be able to help us. Okay?
Yep, and when we do that, we're going to say, here's how much the injury to each one of us individually, and this is, and we want payback for what they have stolen from us.
Yep.
How they have stolen us, how they have harmed us, how they put us at risk. We have to come up with ways to quantify what happens if the United States of America falls and gets totally taken over by China.
Well, here's a good one.
Reckless use. Yeah.
Here's a good one. How much did the Democrat Party reimburse the people for the use of Air Force One during the Obama's re-election campaign? How many hours was Air Force One used for flying to the different campaign stops? How many meetings were handled as far as campaign goes versus country business that was authorized by the people? Going there to just make a speech is not business of the United States. Just making a speech is not business. To actually do something is business. Now, he even went down to see the people in New Jersey. He didn't conduct business. He went down there for a photo op before the election. He did a photo op. Did we, the people, pay for his photo op? Okay, I'll give him that. Did he make a campaign speech? If he did any campaign speech on that trip, then the cost of that trip has to be split 50-50. If he did two campaign speeches, then it's one-third people, two-thirds Democrat Party. We need to audit the use of Air Force One. We need to audit the use of all of our stuff. $500 million for this president to use Air Force One. $250,000 for his children to go to Mexico unescorted by the parents. I have never heard of anybody doing that. That is not parental supervision. That is ripping off the taxpayers. I don't care who you are. Bush never did that. Clinton never did it. And I don't know of any other president that ever did it. But somebody in this administration seems to be telling President Barack Hussein Obama that he can do anything he wants with the taxpayers' money and nobody's going to complain. Well, yeah, I'm going to complain. It's costing us money.
But on the other side of that, let's see, for the salary of $174,000 for these people who are in the both houses of Congress, which, to be honest, I'd have to go out there and look and see what's the difference between what a representative gets and what a senator gets and all that stuff. But we know $174,000 is right out there in that ballpark. How many days of the year are they supposed to work for $174,000? And how much should we get reimbursed for all the time they spend on the campaign trail, too? Because let's face it, Ryan, he was out there all over the place. He, you know, all of them were. Rubio, who wasn't even running for office, was out there on the campaign trail. He wasn't doing the people's work. He was out there campaigning. So I think we need to go after, when it comes to that type of stuff, the president obviously has abused what he's been given. So did Nancy Pelosi. She had to have Air Force One. Remember all that nonsense she was doing? So she's got that going, too. But truthfully, when it comes to, I am tired of paying these people salary when they don't even work. They're MIA most of the time. They're AWOL, MIA, and then that's why they can't even get a budget passed.
Well, I understand that they were working an average of 108 a year. And the rest of the time was either claiming to be in their districts or whatever it is, but you can't get to them because their district offices are in office buildings where you got covered parking, you have the garage parking, and all this type of thing. They are not in a storefront where people can get there, like driving up to Publix and walking next door to the congressman's office, which is what should be. The whole thing it is, the average American works 240 days a year. I think Congress deserves to work the same amount. But I mean work for the people. No campaigning. If they're going to take campaign, take a day off, they lose a day's pay.
Exactly.
But see, honesty used to be the rule of thumb in Washington. Now it's dishonesty and corruption. How much can I steal and not get caught by the people?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because there's something that I have to ask you. And I mentioned it at the very beginning of the show, but I don't know if you heard me. I think you came on just after that. Do you believe Hillary is really too ill to testify? Talk about honesty. Talk about playing games. Talk about dishonor.
I think that was a convenient slip or whatever. I hope she's in good health and nothing drastically is wrong with her. However, to avoid testifying on Benghazi, I believe that ISA should just now file a criminal investigation and circumvent the Senate, because it is no longer a Democrat or Republican Senate. It is the People's Senate. And if we have to, Harry Reid is sitting on bills, he should be brought up on charges of impeachment, failing to do the work. See, the thing is people seem to think we have to impeach them first. We don't.
No.
What we have to do is we can go ahead and bring them up on charges of breach of fiduciary duty. And when found guilty, they relinquish all of their wages, benefits, and everything else. And then you impeach them after that. Because the Constitution is written in such a way that it gives us, we the people, the right to file criminal charges against them and file charges against them for fiduciary duty. The Quinault Indians did that to the Secretary of Interior in 1983, and they won the case. Well, file a fiduciary violation to the various members of Congress for failing to pass a budget, to properly process a budget. That's a fiduciary violation. And it says they shall hold their offices during good behavior for those who are appointed to judgeships. In Congress's situation, they shall be exempt from arrest during their debates in Congress, in their respective houses, and in travel to and from. Well, if they are in violation of their fiduciary duty and they are not working for the good of the we the people, that's a violation that is as to where they were elected to do the job and they are not doing it. So,
Well, I got to let you know that damn mad granny's out there tonight. And when I made that comment about Hillary, her response in the chat room is not no, but hell no. And she wants to share her opinion on that. So I'm going to interrupt you for just a minute so we can get her in and welcome her back and also congratulate her on her new grandson. Hey, Ms. Texas, you're on.
Hi, y'all. Hi, Charlie.
Merry Christmas. How you doing?
Christmas. Oh, I'm fine. I have a new great-grandson. I told all the grandchildren there would be no more greats for at least another year. I didn't want to hear that word again.
Okay, well, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm just too young for this crap.
Now you get to spoil another one.
I'm not good at spoiling them. I'm a mean old lady.
Oh, right.
I was raised, you give them love and everything, which I do, but there's rules and you're going to follow them, and I'm sorry. So I'm the wicked grandmother of the West.
Right. You were properly raised on a farm.
Not a farm by an English woman.
My mother
was from England, so.
Oh, okay.
You didn't speak in public, and you didn't do this, and you didn't do that, and you damn sure didn't put your feet on the couch.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about Hillary and her damn knot on her head. When I heard that, I was driving somewhere, and I had to pull over on the side of the road because I went ballistic. I had just seen this woman on TV a couple of days before, and it was not a week ago thing, they were talking to her, and I can't remember what they had asked her about. But she was all dressed up, and she had makeup on, and she looked the best I've seen her look in a long time. And she didn't act like she was sick at all to me. But suddenly, she got dehydrated, and she was sick, and she fainted. And do you mean to tell me that she kept that crap quiet for a week? I do not think so.
This
is the most hatched up deal to keep her from having to testify in front of the cameras against Obama and to tell that she was in on the crap in Benghazi. She knew what was going on.
She was part of it.
And then they're talking about this woman running for presidency.
Oh, that was the part. It's like, wait a minute. If you can't even testify in front of Congress for this thing, then I hopefully that puts the final nail in her coffin to her trying to run for office. How disgusting.
Well, my question is, how do you be a part of getting an American ambassador and three other Americans plus all these other people killed? You know what's going on, and how do you claim not to have known and then lie about the president sitting there and watching it in real time? That's like this poor incident that has taken place in Connecticut.
Right.
Now, I sat and watched the sheriff there in Connecticut, trying to fend himself off from these reporters the day it happened. And he told these people the man only had two weapons with him in the classrooms, two pistols. There was a rifle or a gun, automatic gun, found in his car. Now, I watched him say this at least four different times. Suddenly, all the information that the news media was given was incorrect. And this man took this automatic weapon in with him, and this is what he used to shoot those children. Now, it is a blatant example of the news media changing a story around to get their gun control into effect, to get their fight for gun control into effect. Now, am I for gun control? To a point. But I don't care if his mother had not had any guns. To a boy, if he wanted guns, he would have still got his guns. If you're that sick and you're going to commit that kind of crime, you're going to do it one way or another.
Well, that's what, you know, you try to tell people this, and some people were saying, why does his mother have so many guns or whatever, but I heard something about she was a collector, and I know you kind of came in a little bit late, so you didn't hear the beginning. Thursday's show, we're going to go into the nitty-gritty of what this all means, but I think we pretty much wrapped up what we're going to discuss on the lawsuit.
Right.
Unless Charlie had anything else on that he wanted to get into, but we can get into, what's the real reason, what's the core problem that caused this, and Charlie was getting into some of that earlier too.
Well, I want to talk about y'all's lawsuit. I don't believe that the judge that was supposed to have read your suit and made a determination on it, I don't believe she even read what the magistrate or whoever in the hell they're called, and it's a fancy name for an aide, it wrote and presented to her. With everything that you've read and all the information that you put out there and all, you know, the constitutional information and everything, there is no way a person in their right mind who has any education, who gives a damn or knows anything about the Constitution, could have passed a ruling such as this. I mean, I'm not a lawsuit. I was a legal secretary for years. But I don't have to be a genius to read the Constitution and then to read what the judgment read and know there's a bunch of crap.
Well, It is. That's why, you know, I said, you know, there is no rule of law, there is no equal justice for all in America.
And
it's
how does
the
judicial
system is a shambles.
Those judges are elected. How can a judge who's elected to office sit back and put their signature? Well, I don't know. I'm asking that dumb question. I'm just thinking about the congressmen we got that are, and the presidents we got that are signing on to stuff that they never read the first damn page of it.
Exactly. It's a cancer throughout this whole system. The Constitution means nothing. The rule of law means nothing. These people just do whatever they feel like doing. It's cancer that's killing us.
It's pay me my salary, and I'll pay someone over here $8 an hour to trust them to read this stuff that is so important to this country, and I'll trust their judgment, and I'll find it as long as I don't have to work for my money. Oh, well.
And don't care about the country.
And that's it. They're only worried about their back pockets and how full they're going to get. And I hope they all get a good case of rash when they sit down on their bill pole.
That would be nice. I would like to see a few of them suffer the pain that they're giving us.
Bed sores on their butts. That ought to be good.
Yeah. It's just so despicable. And it's so everything to do with this complaint and then what happened on Friday. They're all, it's all the symptoms of what's really killing this country. The total moral decline of this country, a country with no principles, no values. I think one ties into the other.
Well, that's like, you know, we're talking about this vast killing and they're making such an issue out of it. And yes, it's something that issue should be made of, but they're asking themselves why. You know, and so let's look at our Congress and say, why? Why have you become so self-centered, so self-engaged, and everything, that this country means nothing to you? How can you possibly go run for an office with this kind of mindset? It's just mind-boggling to me.
Hey, Charlie, what are you thinking?
I wasn't.
Oh.
Well, he said granny's on, I'm a hush.
Well, for callers, if you're calling in and you want to speak on the air, make sure you push 1 so that we know you want to speak on the air. But I see you out there, but if I don't see the hand up, then I don't think you want to speak, which is okay. You can listen. But, yeah, I mean, when you think about everything that is happening across the board, and Charlie, he was talking about a little bit about this in the beginning, and this truly is, we're going to try to get into so much detail on this on Thursday, taking prayer out of school. You're not allowed to have values. We've done everything to devalue the society, to make killing okay. Nothing is anyone's fault. Drugging kids at very young ages between the vaccines and the Ritalin and all this other stuff. And then you go and put all this garbage into a young kid's system. Because I think that there was something being said about some kind of medication this kid had been on too. And then we want to know why there's something wrong with them.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is they've taken the ability for the schools to I'm going to say manage the children and by that discipline. And they've taken, which they don't enforce it as much anymore, but a lot of parents use the excuse that if they spank their children, they'll go to jail. The government stuck their nose in where they had no damn business. I'm sorry. And they handed the importance of watching over these kids to a bunch of underpaid, understaffed, overworked people in public service.
Who are changing all the rules and changing history too, which that's the other thing as part of that discussion on Thursday, to say this is why homeschooling is more important than ever and we need to shut down the public school system. public school system has failed.
Well, the homeschooling and is only as important as states that have rules and laws to guide that. And Texas is not one of them. And I know the problem that that presents because I have a cousin who has a daughter who has six children who she claims to have homeschooled. They cannot read. They cannot write. They are not ready to go out in the world and work. And there's nothing that can be done about it.
Well, yeah, obviously you need to have some kind of standards there, too. But I just think we shouldn't be putting so much emphasis. I think if we made homeschooling a better option for people, that, well, two things, get rid of the federal education, get the feds out of it, make it a state thing. And then when it is still public, when you have that much more focus on it, maybe they'd clean up their acts on, because public education is just, it's terrible in so many ways. It's not about educating, it's about daycare.
Well, it's about making it too damn easy for them. In other words, every kid on every baseball team can't win. I'm sorry, that's not what life is about. And they're teaching these kids in school, everybody gets a gold star. Well, I'm sorry, when you get out in the real world, not everybody gets a gold star, and you have to have learned how to cope with that.
Yep, and going back to what you said about the media, you know, Tom Pastore and I got into quite a conversation, and he's going to plan on calling in on Thursday to talk about this too. Everything to do with the media, the frenzy, the way we glamorize something like this, we make it, you know, they were bugging these people to to interview them. And it wasn't because it was the newsworthiness of it. It was because they wanted ratings. They're not there because, I mean, seriously, you can take any of the stations, Fox News, CNN, whoever, NBC, whoever it was out there. How many reporters did they really need to send into that town to cover that? Did they really need 6-8 reporters covering that? It wasn't because it was what they were that they were trying to convey news. They were trying to share facts. It was because they were trying to pump it up for ratings. And at the same time, that's putting these people in front of the camera. Those who jump in front of the camera and think it's all neat that they saw themselves on TV, even though it was such a disaster, you know, such a terrible thing, and that kind of stuff. But we glamorize it. And the media does that all for – it's not because they're trying to report the news. It's because they want the ratings. It's like
they're milking it. It's exactly what they're doing. We listen to it all weekend. You turn on Monday morning, 3 days after the fact, and the first thing it hits you in the face. We're going to rehash everything that took place. My question is why?
Well – and I have to ask you one other question, and again, we'll probably cover some of this again on Thursday, but that's okay. What did you think about Obama's speech? They were giving it some kind of grief speech, grief and commander or something. Grief and chief,
that was
whatever.
The biggest show that ever was. That was the biggest, best performance that ever was. And I almost rolled in the floor when I listened to him quote a verse from the Bible. I mean, how long did he have to work on that to be able to get it out? And wiping his corner of his eye, I do not think so. And I do not think so because of what he is working to do to this country. I do not believe he meant one word of what he said when he stood up there and talked about how cruel it was that we had people walking this earth that could do that to their own people. Well, what in the hell do the Islamists do to their own people? They rape their own women. They fondle their own children. They cut people's hands and fingers off. What in the hell do you call that? Just because they didn't have a semi-automatic gun held in their hand? Oh, you got me wound up.
Well, and I have to tell you, you're going to have to take a little bit of a breath because the other caller has put, whoops, well, they were there and then they just dropped off. Okay, never mind, keep going. The other caller had put their hand up to speak and I was going to...
Come on, caller, I'll shut up. I'll take a breath. I'll breathe. Get in here.
Well, they totally dropped off the face of the switchboard, so I don't know whether something happened and they got disconnected.
Oh.
I don't think I did it.
That was the first thing that crossed my mind. First thing I started off, I thought, well, I'm going to listen to this. Well, then I saw him wipe the first little tear. I went, oh, give me a break. Then I listened to him quote from the Bible, and I'm going, oh, my God. Every radical Islamist in the world must be rolling over in their grave. And where is the revolutions, where's the flag burning and all that crap against him, because he is one of them and standing up there and quoting our Bible.
Well, and I kind of wondered of for the Christian population, how many of them were, as you and I apparently, were just kind of seeing through this and it's like, this is just a facade. I don't believe this is genuine. Somebody scripted it for them, told them what to say, blah, 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 did the research. But how many believe, and I hate to kind of say that. You don't want to challenge someone's belief. However, I just wasn't 100% sure I could believe that's what he thinks. Same thing you're saying. And it's like, but I don't want to go and say that. Well, it looks like the caller is back out there. If you want to push one again, let me know you want to go on the air. I saw you out there before. And I was just going to you when you left. So if you still want to chime in on the subject, please feel free to push one, and we'll get back to you there.
I don't have a problem questioning his beliefs because it's been made too public what his beliefs are. And I feel sorry for those Christians out there who have not listened, who in the earlier stages where they told you what his beliefs were. When they told you what church he went to, he listened to a minister that cussed and cursed the United States and its people.
Right.
And I feel sorry for these people that don't know that. Because they're gullible. They're falling into the trap of believing him.
Yep. Well, Charlie, you any thoughts that you want to chime in on?
Well, I always look at it this way. It's all going to come out in the wash because he's one of these days he's just going to slip up big time and the people are going to notice it. He may not be up for another term, but I'll tell you what. If our Congress doesn't continue to do that investigating, Nixon was brought up on charges of lying to the people that he knew about the Watergate break-in. People to avoid an impeachment. The Obama administration has lied to the people about Benghazi. As far as I'm concerned, because it's been going so long, everybody in that administration who has anything to do with military should be removed from office and impeach if necessary.
Well, to go along with that, Charlie, there's 27, at least 27 other things that he's done against this country, its constitution, and its people. But there's no reason that man should have even been able to run for office. But yet, we got him.
That's because
no
we have
rule of law.
That's because we have a Democrat Party and a Republican Party who are not working for the good of the American people, but for their own good and the special interest good.
And there is no rule of law. The Constitution doesn't apply. We have to be honest with what's happening. Everything that this country was founded on, what made us what we were, has all vanished. There's no beliefs. There's no... no core beliefs, no core values. The Constitution doesn't mean anything. The rule of law, it all depends on how much money you have as well. Do you have to follow the laws or not? It's just the whole part of it.
We don't even have preachers that will help to guide their parishioners and to keep them aware of what's going on. They won't even take a stand.
Well, again, we've condemned religion in such a way, too. Any kind of moral values. Just like, I mean, you know, the war on Christmas routine. Not allowed to say Merry Christmas. Finally, we're getting back to it some. But look at all the garbage that's gone on. You're not allowed to say Christmas. Where they don't want to have the various nativity scenes and things like that.
Well, the people that are willing to put up with that need their butts kicked. That's like one told me Happy Holidays the other day, and I said, I'm sorry. It's not Happy Holidays. It happens to be Merry Christmas. You can take politically correct and stick it in your butt. Sideways.
Sideways any which way.
And you know, what's the newsman comes on Sunday mornings, Steinbrenner, something another, who said he's Jewish. He enjoys looking at the Christmas trees. He enjoys looking at the decorations. He does not mind our Christmas.
Oh, Ben Stein. You're talking about Ben Stein.
Yeah.
He's been talking a lot about it. Yeah.
He knows that we respect his Hanukkah.
That's right.
It's just two different ways of expressing yourself. And if you don't like it, then go dig a hole and stay in it till January the 1st. We don't care.
Exactly.
All right. Anyway, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody, and God bless America.
And just so those know, Charlie is going to be traveling for Christmas, and so he's not going to be with us on Thursday. Have a very safe trip, Charlie, and definitely Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We'll be talking, I'm sure, before both.
Be safe, Charlie, and goodness sakes, Charlie, be good so Santa won't bring you a bag of coal.
Okay.
Which, okay, Charlie, one quick thing before you go here, just to mention. Wasn't it the governor in Connecticut who refused to call it a Christmas tree or was a big stink about the Christmas tree?
It's one of the, I don't know if it was Connecticut or if it was another us. It was one of the states up there.
Okay. I was thinking
it was
Connecticut. Okay, anyway, have a safe trip, Charlie, and we'll be talking to you.
Yep, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
And let's see, we've got about 10, 13 minutes left here. Yeah, it was one of those states up there. Wasn't it the guy in Connecticut, the governor in Connecticut, who made such a big stink about calling it a holiday tree? And then, I don't know, it was just one thing after another. But, again, it's
Quarter
sign of the society. Yeah.
Well, you know, what is it they call, we don't want to become a standalone country, that's not the name for it, but a country where we don't work with other countries. And I begin to think that's what we need to do. If these countries cannot come to our country and respect our way of living, the American way of living, our religions, and our traditions, then go back to where you came from. If we go to your country, we respect your way. We don't expect you to become Americans. We want you to be Italians, Germans, Jews. It doesn't matter. So why don't we get the same courtesy?
And that goes back to the core of the Muslim faith, Islam. Can you be a Muslim and truly embrace the American way?
No.
Because they don't seem to go together at all. Because Muslim, if you're not Muslim, you're supposed to be killed, the infidels and all this other stuff, the craziness of that. So, truthfully, I don't think you can be an American if you're not a true American. In that meaning that you come from wherever in the world. Being an American means your heritage is wherever. Who cares where you came from? But you aren't going to embrace a truly free society where people do have different beliefs, and you're not supposed to kill them if they don't believe the same as you, and you're not supposed to stone somebody because you don't like something they did. You know, and that's the other part of this too. I mean, it's like, well, wait a minute. The people were upset, obviously, terrible what happened on Friday. I'm not taking any of that away. However, we have courts that are willing to accept honor killings. Honor killings because the young lady is no longer a virgin, or she was raped and is no longer a virgin, and so now they're going to do an honor killing, and that's okay.
Well, that's where you've got judges sitting on the bench that need to be removed immediately, if not sooner, because they are not indoctrinating according to our Constitution. They are letting foreign rule, because you can't call what these people, the Muslims, and I'm talking about the radicals, you cannot call what they practice a religion. No way. There is not a God anywhere, anyhow, that would back or support their beliefs.
Yeah, it's all a massive takeover of the West. And, I mean, they've already taken over other parts of the West. And, you know, the prize, the gold prize, if you will, is to take down the United States of America. That's
well,
what they want to do. Yeah.
It started by a man who took the Quran or the Bible or whatever you want to call it, and he turned it into something that this man had to be sick. He had to be as deranged as the boy that walked in and killed those 20 kids and those 6 adults who wrote this. And you have people who are dumb, and I'm being nice, and uneducated enough to believe that this is a way of life.
Exactly.
And they indoctrinate them when they are kids. I mean, you look at the ones going out there, they're not 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old people out there doing all the killing. It's teenagers. It's kids that aren't even teenagers that they indoctrinate to doing this crap.
That and, you know, there's the other aspects, how we glorify killing. Glorify it in the sense that, whatever, it's just going to happen. We put these people on the front page. We give them all this publicity that they shouldn't get. And then through various, what do you call it, the video games and TV and whatever, desensitizing people where there is no human emotion. There is no caring. There is no moral values.
When
you're not responsible for anything you do. It's always somebody else's fault.
That again goes back to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
That again goes back to the parents. If you do not know what your children are doing, if you do not go to the store with them and buy those video games with them, how do they get to your house?
Right.
It's the parents not being able to tell these kids, not no, but hell no, you're not old enough. When you get old enough and have some sense, yeah, you can play it. Until then, this is for the adults. They don't know how to do that anymore.
No, there is no discipline. There is no respect. There is no, I'll call it rule of law, even at that sense, discipline when it comes to the youth. And I think it was on the Glenn Beck show earlier today, there was this one guy was talking about parents are saying, today's parents are saying they're teenagers, their children, they're teenagers, all have this attitude of entitlement. Well, yeah, that's because you gave them everything they wanted. You made them work for nothing. It wasn't their job to help out with household chores like I had to do. It wasn't their job to work for a little bit for that allowance they were going to get. And so they just thought they were entitled to anything, that you gave them anything that they wanted. And then, of course, we also have the other aspect. You know, if a parent whacks a kid on the rear end, they're afraid they're going to get taken to court. You know, I mean, I don't believe in abuse, obviously, you know, abuse, but I do believe enough to get the kids' attention to say that's not the thing you should do. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't believe in abuse. But
you can't
enough to get their attention. Yeah.
You can't determine the difference between abuse and a spanking. You got a problem.
Exactly. However, all it takes is for one person to see something minor where a kid gets whacked, and then all of a sudden this other adult or whoever is calling the cops on this parent who did this, and it mushrooms into something totally crazy. And if the kid happened to have fallen down, I mean, I used to get bruises when I was a kid because of playing and falling. It wasn't because I was being beaten. It was because I was playing around and falling and doing stupid things. But, you know, if they would see a bruise on the kid, well, it must be abuse.
Probably doing what your parents told you not to do in the first place.
Well, that was probably true, too. Climbing, jumping on the furniture. We did have some crazy games about, you know, whatever. I won't go into I won't go into those things. The games we played when Mom and Dad weren't around, kind of thing. But I mean, but today, and right now they're trying to when it comes to this thing that happened in Connecticut, which you make sure you call in on Thursday because we're going to get really into this, talking about the healthcare system, the mental health.
Well, that
how
needs,
mental health, yeah.
That needs to be talked about big time because the government has taken away any mental health help that they used to give, and we can get into that on Thursday because I'm experienced in that end.
And that truly is a big part of this discussion. It's definitely part of it because there's all those that were saying they knew that there were problems here, there was something that wasn't quite right. Yes, there is such a thing as true mental illness, and yes, there is a thing of schizophrenia. And you take somebody who might have been prone to that to begin with, then a lifelong of being stuck on Ritalin or whatever, which Ritalin isn't for mental illness per se. It's the stuff they do when the kids actually are active when they're young. But then you go into the Prozac and the clozapine and all the other crazy stuff. What are you doing to these kids' brains? I mean, the whole thing, it's no wonder why we have people going out there acting out of their heads on the legal/pharmaceutical stuff for getting
yeah. But Sally, on the other end of that spectrum, you have kids who really need help and parents who really need help because they have kids who have true mental deficiencies that can't get it.
Oh, I know it exactly. There is such a thing. I mean, some people think that there is no such thing as schizophrenia, paranoia. There is. It's one of the most mismanaged, misdiagnosed, whatever, and part of that was because in the past, too, if anybody said something you didn't like or whatever, you know, and you had enough money, everybody was sent to the loony bin because it didn't take anything to get somebody committed. So you go from one extreme to the other, and I, too, have a lot of experience in the mental illness stuff, so we're going to have an excellent discussion because of the way we medicate. And, I mean, I know firsthand, too, people I have known, family members as well, who have had problems where they give one medication for one thing, they give another for the side effects of the other, they give another one for the side effects. Well, wait a minute, this third one causes hallucinations. The first one was supposed to stop the hallucinations. The nutsiness of the medical treatment, too. And I don't know what the perfect answer is. I don't.
The perfect answer would be if the people taking the drugs... And I've been going through this with my brother. If they would just open their mouth and let you know that there's something different going on since they started taking this pill, but they don't. And I'm going to change the subject just a little bit here because we're getting off. We could really get deep.
We've only got 2 minutes left too, so you got
right.
1 minute to wrap up.
Walking through the store the other day, this kid about 8 years old looked at his mom and said, "Why can't I have this?" And the mom turns around and says, "Because I said you can't." I shook her hand.
Yeah, I should have had to make an announcement over the intercom.
And she looked at me. I said, "Dear, you don't know how many more parents need to say exactly what you just said. Because I said you can't."
Exactly.
Of course, I'm hoping Dr. Spock is rolling over in his grave, but that's okay. Great to be back.
Well, we are down. Yes.
Great to be back. Great show. Love you, Sally. Missed y'all. And we'll be here Thursday night.
Oh, definitely. You're going to be actively engaged in this discussion. Thank you again, Ms. Texas. And we are down to the last minute, so thank you for tuning in. Please tune in Thursday. We're going to talk a lot about Sandy Hook school event, everything, what it means as us as a country, what it means of how we're raising our children, what it means of how we've lost our own core values, our principles, it, the whole thing, because I think it's symbolic, just like this thing with this complaint tonight. It's symbolic of what has happened to our country and why we're losing our country. So please tune in. And on that note, may God bless and protect the USA. Good night, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.